We rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Reformation celebration is from our epistle, Romans 3, 19 to 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. This is the text. In the name of Jesus, amen. It is true. To speak of the Reformation, whether it be in this 500th anniversary year or any point in history, is to speak about the blessed Martin Luther. But there is always something bigger than that going on when we speak of Reformation. To speak of the Reformation is to speak of Holy Mother Church, for she is the one who has begotten you by water and word. And to speak of Holy Mother Church is always to be speaking the gospel. And the gospel is always wrapped up in Christ and his righteousness. Get that wrong, and you learn very quickly that the Reformation is all for nothing. Scripture rightly likens the law of God to a hammer. It always crushes you to dust. Luther knew all about that. He spent the first years of his life trying to dodge that heavy hammer by being good enough for God. Guess what? It didn't work. It never does. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you seek to dress yourself up to be a good enough Christian, God still knows exactly how ugly you are under all those filthy rags you think are so lovely. You see, that's the problem Luther kept bumping into. Good enough was never good enough. Try as hard as you will, doll yourself up as pretty as you can, wrap yourself in a monk's robe, the hammer of the law still falls, and it falls hard. St. Paul nailed it like few others in our text. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Or again, when he wrote to that church in Rome, there is none righteous, no, not one. They have all turned aside. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Running in the way of the law will never make anyone good enough for God. It is the way of the law to show us our sin, to show us all the full-blown, hellish horror of sin, and to glue our pride-filled, boasting mouths shut before this holy God. You know the sort of stuff that I'm talking about. Lord, I must be a pretty good Christian, because by and large, I'm not a pretty bad Christian. I come to church all the time. I keep trying to keep the golden rule. I try to be a good Christian neighbor. Does anyone really think that doing something right or simply trying to do your best makes them good enough in the eyes of a holy and righteous God? Now, I will agree that all that may sound pretty good in the ears of prideful sinners who are full of themselves. But a holy God covers his holy ears with both hands when he hears that kind of talk going on. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear it now, and he doesn't want to hear it at your funeral. You know the kind of comments I mean. Oh, yes. Good old so-and-so was such a good person. Uncle such-and-such was a fine, upstanding, good Christian. Make no mistake. At such talk, your God squints his big, all-knowing eyes, his lips turn downward into a scowl, and he says, "What good person? What fine, upstanding, good Christian? You toss good works around like it's cheap perfume and think it must smell as good to me as it does to you. Think again. It stinks in my nostrils. It reeks of death and rottenness. It is, as my prophet Isaiah writes of humanity, and he includes himself here, we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags." And Isaiah makes reference here to the woman's menstrual rag. Or again, "Listen to my son and to his apostle, St. Paul. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none who does good, no, not one. Shut your mouth then, and know that you are accountable to me. And don't forget this. Even if you could get it all right, you've got no claim on me. I am God, your creator. You can never put me in your debt. Never. Any attempt you make to do so is all for nothing." And there it is, my friends. There is the truth of the Reformation. It is not your doing that places you in a right relationship with God. It is his doing from beginning to end. Even Adam and Eve could not boast about how good they were, not even before the fall. Even then, they couldn't brag about their right relationship to God. God, in his grace, created them in that right relationship. His doing, not theirs. And since the fall, only God in his grace can restore that right relationship for any of us. His doing. What then is our doing? Listen carefully. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But even though this is 100% true, your God won't let you stay there. He won't let you stay in sin and death and hell. Yes, you, Martin Luther, St. Paul, me, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on. "You are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." That is gift talk, my friends. That is gospel talk. That is God doing the doing and you and giving you all the blessed results talk. First, he freely created man in a right relationship with himself, and then by his grace, he freely sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to restore that relationship broken by man. He does all the doing. You do nothing but receive. You do nothing but be given to. God bending down to pour words of forgiveness into your ears. Listen, Christ has set you free. You stand forgiven. God bending his big holy back and getting down on his knees to give you the bath of life poured onto your body in baptism. Christ opening your mouth to feed into it that medicine of immortality. His assurance of your bodily resurrection. His crucified, holy crucified and risen body and blood for you. Your God gifting you with forgiveness, life, and eternity in heaven. By God's grace, that is what blessed Martin Luther rediscovered some 500 years ago. Your righteousness before God doesn't hang on what you do. Your righteousness, your right standing before God hangs on the cross, bleeding and dying for you. His name is Jesus, Savior, your Savior. Your Savior from sin and everything that hell can throw at you. In Jesus, your righteousness before God is a done deal. You have the righteousness of God apart from the law. God alone offers it. God alone gives it out by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So whatever you do, don't go rummaging around inside of yourself trying to find your rightness for God, with God. That is an endeavor that is all for nothing. Don't go looking at what you do or fail to do to see what a good Christian you are. That too is all for nothing. You start mucking around in all that stuff, and all you're going to find is the fearful memory of sin and the terrors of death. Again, all for nothing. You dig into all that, and you may well want to run around trying to play the monk Luther, looking for a few more rules you can try to keep to be a really good Christian. That, my friends, is all for nothing. No, dearly beloved, it is far, far better to be always looking to where that great reformer Martin Luther looked. Look outside of your sinful self to your sinless Savior, the one who comes for you, Christ Jesus. He alone is good enough, and your God has connected you to him, and you to him to you, and you to him in that flood of the waters of baptism. This word of God in flesh, this word spoken into your ears, this truth sets you free from being found in yourself. This Son who releases you from the slavery of sin bids you to listen to the voice of your holy God who says to you, quit looking around in that trash heap of a heart that wants to do all the doing. Quit trusting in the arms, the legs, and the feet that hang off of that maggot sack of your body in that sin-crazed reason of yours. Quit looking there and look here to where I do all the doing. Look at this man, born of the Virgin Mary, the one who is my Son from all eternity. Look at these wounds in his hands, his feet, and his side. That is where I placed your sins, my friends. That is where my Christ became that propitiation by his blood and got it all right for you. That is where I make you good enough. And would you believe it? Because of Christ, I can't find your sins anymore. I know he certainly didn't have any of it when he came out of that grave on that third day. And that is all for nothing on your part, dear friends. That is all given, all gift. Now, before you say amen to all that, I can almost hear the words coming out of your mouth. Yes, Pastor, but we have to do the believing. We have to accept Christ. Well, there's still nothing going on there about which you can boast. There is still nothing happening here where you can take credit for doing the doing. Faith, you see, doesn't chase down the giver, tackling him in order to get the gift. Otherwise, it's no gift. No, faith only receives what is given. Faith is more like a blind beggar. into whose rusty old cup God the Holy Spirit freely tosses the whole treasure of heaven wrapped up in Christ. Faith can only say amen to the giver and the gift. Gift received, Lord, gift received. You have given me Christ and all of his wonderful and eternal blessings. You have poured into my rusty little cup forgiveness, not condemnation, mercy, not wrath, life, not death, joy, not judgment, heaven, not hell. You have given me a permanent place in your holy family, not as a slave, but as a son, a daughter, a child who belongs to you forever in Christ. You have truly given me all for nothing. Thank you, Lord. Gift received. And on this special day of celebrating this 500th year of the Reformation, when you join again perhaps this afternoon with your fellow believers in publicly confessing that triune God of your baptism with the amen and the invocation, when you openly admit all your sins and iniquities as we did earlier this morning in this public confession and receive the absolution in faith, when you publicly confess that Jesus Christ is your Savior before God and this congregation in the Apostles' or Nicene Creed, may the words of your mouth truly be the will and intent of your heart. And may it be from this day forward that you will faithfully and regularly receive the gift of Christ's very own body and blood in the Holy Communion for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of your faith, and that you might learn more fully to love God and your neighbor. Yes, my friends, to speak of the Reformation is truly to speak about the blessed Martin Luther. That's true. But like I said earlier, it is to speak of something much larger than Luther. To speak of the Reformation is to speak of Holy Mother Church. And to speak of Holy Mother Church is always to be speaking the gospel, always proclaiming Christ. Christ is the one in whom you can boast. Christ is your forgiveness. Christ is your life. Christ is your eternal salvation. In him, you are set right with God, and it is all gift. And although he has given his all to obtain it, thanks to the Reformation, you now know that he gives it to you and for you, all for nothing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.